This podcast is part of the Big Heads Media Podcast Network. Go to bigheadsmedia.com for more great podcasts.
Are there any openly atheist people in Congress today?
I believe there's three.
It's a couple.
Yeah.
And non-believers make up 40% of the population.
Right. The most discriminated against religious group in the world, in the country.
Not non-religious group.
They're not religious. Group of people.
I think atheism counts as your faith if you were writing it down, right?
Nope.
Like if someone said, mark your faith on a piece of paper, are you going to leave it blank?
I'm going to say none.
Okay.
But you still have to. Faith. I'm not George Michael and this motherfucker.
It's a religious choice, right?
That's not a religious choice. Anger, by the way.
Yeah, it's a religious choice.
Yes.
So
it's not a religious choice
because it's not a religion. It's just.
Now we're arguing semantics.
It's not semantics.
No, it's
words have meaning.
Is not a religion.
Words have meanings.
Okay, so we can.
Our religion is no religion. That what kind of cookie?
Yeah.
Fortune cookie shit is that?
But the absence of religion is still a status of religious
absence
choice.
Absence of evidence is not evidence of absence, sir.
But that's a false equivalency.
Can your favorite hobby be not collecting things?
Yeah.
No, but if you have a hobby, you would write down what your hobby is. If you say I don't have a hobby, then you could say none.
Right. But your hobby wouldn't be not having a hobby. And that's what you're saying when atheism is a religion.
Yeah. But if someone says to me, what's your favorite hobby? I still say I don't have a favorite hobby, which means that is my opinion on the hobby.
If you say what's your religion? I don't have a religion.
If it's important to you to not want to answer that question, then that's fine. I can't make that decision for you.
You can try to gaslight me, but it doesn't still change the fact.
How am I gaslighting you? I'm saying that
if I try to act like I'm being like reactionary in my decision making, you're wrong on this.
How am I wrong? Tell me how. I'm open.
Because it's not a religion.
It's not a religion.
Atheism. It's the absence of it.
So how is it something if it is the absence of it, Dutch?
Yeah. Because your choice
can't be the absence of religion.
Your choice is to not be religious.
So that means that means I'm not religious. I don't believe in God. I don't have a religion.
Right. I give you a piece of paper and said I'm doing a survey.
You're trying to put somebody in a box. That's you trying to label somebody.
If I'm doing a survey that we're using for demographics for voters, let's say.
Yes.
In fact, Mikey just talked about it a minute ago because he said how many atheists are in Congress? We know this information because someone did a survey. Were they gaslighting when they did the survey?
Yes, 100%. Because
then how would we know that? Then how would we know that atheists are underrepresented?
They are putting it in a box that it shouldn't be in.
But we would not know that atheists. We would not know that atheists are not that atheists are underrepresented if we didn't have the survey.
But the survey in itself is putting a label on a term that it shouldn't be in.
Well, that is hold on. Because that's just
I'm not even an atheist, and I'm defending atheists.
So Dutch, you just said it backwards. So enough people say that they are religious, and then there's like what, 3-5 that say that they're not religious. So you don't have to ask an atheist what their religion is to figure out how many people in Congress are atheists or non-believers.
What does that have to do with the question?
If there's three of us in here and they say, hey, who's a Christian? And you two raise your hands. Who's a Muslim? I don't raise my hand. Who's a Jew? I don't raise my hand. And I don't raise my hand for any of them, they would deem me an atheist, which would be correct.
Okay. So let's say that you went to Congress. Okay. You won a congressional seat.
Look out, AOC.
Okay. Let's say you won a congressional seat.
Mm-hmm.
And
Dutch is famous for this, by the way.
Nobody, when you were getting sworn in, they didn't bother to ask you what your preference was as far as to what book to swear in on.
Mm-hmm.
probably
so that
like
would
Calvin
be
and Hobbes.
Not giving you a choice. So you get to make that choice. You can get sworn in on fucking the dictionary if you want to.
Calvin and Hobbes. I told you.
Okay. So, but because it wouldn't make any difference if you were to swear in on the Bible that you don't believe in, your oath would mean nothing. 100%. If you were to swear in on a Quran and I don't believe in the Quran, my oath on the Quran means nothing.
Right.
Right. If they had made Ilhan Omar swear in on the Bible, like people wanted her to do, that would have been the stupidest thing they could do.
100%.
Because that means nothing to Ilhan Omar, except for that it's a sacred book in Islam. But no, you get the point. To get the most honest answer out of her, she's going to swear on the Quran. So you do want them to be able to give you that choice and say, hey, you know what? I would prefer to swear in on nothing.
But that doesn't make you a religion.
So you're getting to make that choice.
But that doesn't make you a religion.
But it makes it a religious choice.
No, it doesn't. You're saying I don't have a religion. That's not a religion.
Which is a
religious choice.
Later,
by definition, is a choice from a list of religions. If you are not a religious person, you don't believe in God.
So are you saying that religious is a genetic thing? Your religious choice is
genetic? I'm saying this. To say, I'm not going to say, what is your favorite wine and put a bourbon in it? You know?
But who's doing that?
That's what I'm. That's
if
exactly
you ask me what my favorite
my
wine
point.
Is. I say I don't drink wine.
You're proving my point.
No, I'm not. Yes.
Bruh.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not. You're not because making any
said,
sense. You're
you
literally making no sense.
That people are putting a list of things together and saying, "What is your religion of choice?"
Why are you?
And then they're putting a bourbon in with the list of wines. They got Christianity, Muslim, Jewish. Buddhist, Baha'i faith,
or none.
Scientologists, and they put none or atheist, right?
Okay.
That's
none
a
is not
bourbon. That is a bourbon in a list of wines.
Okay, but if I give you a list, if you give me a list of wines
and you put a bourbon
and
in
I
it.
Put none, that's still a choice. Bourbon is
that
a false equivalency
it,
because bourbon is a different kind, is not a
that
wine.
That is exactly.
And
that
you'll
does
get,
not
but you,
make But to put
but,
none there doesn't make
is,
that a religious choice.
All right, hold on.
That's
finish your thought because I can't listen and talk at the same time.
To put none in there doesn't make that a religious choice. A religion, look up the definition of religion.
Right.
So if you look up the definition of religion, nowhere in that definition is there anything about not believing in a higher power at all. So by definition, atheists, being an atheist cannot be a religion because there's no.
Why is it that atheists
are
more religious about their atheism than most people are about their religion?
That's conjecture. You're just saying that.
Yeah, now
it's not conjecture. It's obviously true. All I did is say that.
The goalpost to try to
all
make
I have done here. Listen, all I've done here is said that you get the choice to say none. And that has led to this defense that you don't even want to be able to do that.
No, it's just saying.
That's not what was said earlier.
Yeah.
It's not a religious choice.
Even if you leave it, even if you don't check anything in that box, they're going to say, oh, they must be an atheist. Right. They're putting you in the box. You didn't put yourself in the box. They are putting you in the box. Name it. When did an atheist meet?
What's our
all the time online.
When do they go
all the time online?
When do they go?
How many atheist groups
do they pray to?
How many atheist groups are you in, Mikey?
Okay, so we're Dig on America podcast is a religion because we meet every week and talk.
Somebody could make it a religion, I suppose, but that would be pretty silly.
Come on, Dutch.
And that's what you're trying to do to atheists.
No, I'm not doing anything.
You're trying to put them in a box to make you comfortable.
I'm saying that like look at it with gender. If you say I don't want to put a gender choice.
That's not
then a, that's okay. They'll support that. But if they say, I don't want to make a religious choice, no, I want to support
oranges,
it. Though.
That's apples and oranges.
Yeah. To say I'm non-binary means I'm non-binary.
Okay. To say you're non-religious means you're non-religious.
But being non-religious is not a religion.
And being non-binary is not having a gender.
Exactly.
But it's still, but you still have to ask the questions on a survey.
You don't have to ask the question. They put the question there.
You do if you're trying to do scientific statistical analysis. You do have to ask those questions because you have to know what types of groups lead to people giving perspective.
Asking the question does not make them a religion.
So let me.
When did I ever say that atheism is a religion? I said it's a religious choice.
You just said it. You just said it again. It's a religious choice. It's not a religious choice.
Is saying this is a religious choice the same thing as saying this is a religion? Saying this is a religion means it's a religion. Saying it's a religious choice.
It's not a religious
choice on whether or not to engage in a religion.
Being an atheist is not in the box of religions. So it's not a religious choice.
Time out.
And then you decided to become a Christian, then how do you reconcile that?
Okay, time out. Before you answer that, time out. Google's definition of religion seems pretty fair. The belief in and worship of a superhuman controlling power, especially a personal god or gods.
So?
You can't make a religious choice if you don't believe in any of that.
You are making a religious choice.
No, you're making
a choice on whether or not to have a religion or whether or not to believe a certain thing. And you have every right to do that.
Dutch, you should open up a moving company because you're always moving the fucking goalpost, dude.
Okay, explain to me.
Very fucking successful.
Explain to me in detail how I've moved the goalpost 1 inch from my original statement that it's a religious choice.
It's not a religious choice.
Okay, what is it?
You keep trying to talk. I'm telling you this. I told you a million times. People put the question in a box that it shouldn't be in.
Okay, so what do you want to be there instead?
It don't have to be anything there.
So you don't want people who are doing scientific studies to do surveys?
No. See, you're putting words in my mouth. If you don't check the fucking box, then guess what? Oh, they must not have a belief system like that.
Hold on. Just listen in here.
Discriminated against religious group in the world, in the country.
Not non-religious group.
They're not religious.
That's what we're talking about.
Okay, so?
That's what we're talking about. I don't know where you've gone from there, but that's what I've been talking about.
Okay, well, obviously, what I said there was not accurate.
Okay.
But you understood precisely what I was saying. And then just like you did last week, I said something when I'm speaking really fast and trying to get through something, and then I clarify my statement, but you don't care that I've clarified it. You're still going back to point A when I've clearly clarified what point A was that I didn't mean.
So they're not a religious group.
So I would define an atheist as a person who has made a choice not to engage in religion. However, we cannot just assume. Go finish your thought.
What would you call a group of atheists? Would you call them a religious?
I'd call them atheists.
Okay.
But that's their choice when it comes to the silo of religion.
It's not that they're not even in the silo of religion because they don't believe in it at all.
You're choosing not to go into it. That's fine.
That doesn't make me
a religious. That doesn't make
so are you saying that we
silo? In the silo of religions are people that believe in a higher power.
Okay.
Atheists don't believe that. That's a whole separate silo. They've been forced into a silo that is not theirs to be in.
Okay, so should we not ask questions on where do you want this question removed from?
They don't have to be anywhere.
So going back to my Congress thing.
Yeah.
I have the right as a Muslim. Let's say I'm a Muslim. Mm-hmm. I want to be sworn in on the Quran. Mm-hmm. Because of the fact that they don't want to piss off atheists, they don't even ask me the question. They don't even give me the choice.
Okay.
So now you're discriminating against the Islamic person, weren't you?
No, because guess what?
The motherfucker, I'm not the one asking the question.
The motherfucker getting sworn in would be like, okay.
Well, I mean, above someone's holy book, which I hope they're in there to do is the job of the people and to uphold the law. So swearing on things has been cast out a million times, especially when it comes to Jehovah's Witnesses. They can't swear on things
right
at all. But there's been Jehovah's Witnesses that have been in there, and they affirm their testimony under penalty of perjury. It right. is a law that binds us, not a religious book. It doesn't matter if it's a Bible, a Quran, or okay, so Calvin and Hobbes. I agree with it doesn't
that.
Matter.
So I agree. Then, so I then, think that. So I then think
why would you bring up?
You don't even have to use a book.
Yeah, you don't
yeah,
need a
I
book.
I agree with you.
Put your hand over your heart.
But that's our. But that's my choice, and that's your choice. If someone else has the choice to do it that way,
right.
I don't want to marginalize their choice either.
We're not marginalizing them, but they're doing that out of tradition, not out of something that is right. in their religion that dictates that when they swear on things, a Bible must be present. That's not part of Christianity or Islam. That's not part of that.
But that's part of tradition, though.
Yeah, an American tradition, hey. not a religious tradition.
Well, does it really matter?
I think Aeolian had a great comment about tradition. It is also a tradition that things can and must change, Your Highness. That's from Coming to America. Okay, so
you have to tell me what it is that you want to have changed.
Nothing. Guess what? Here's the thing. You don't put atheism in the same silo as religion. You know, and this is one of the things we must change. We got to stop forcing things into boxes to make us feel comfortable. You know,
but if you don't give people a choice, no, then you're putting that person into a box. I'm sorry if you don't like that. If that's inconvenient for you.
Dutch. You can put the fucking question up there, religious affiliation. If the motherfucker doesn't check the box, then you know they have no religious affiliation.
Great.
So then your statistic says none. It's easy. But that's not a religious choice.
I don't disagree with that.
But that's not a religious choice.
But the box is still there.
No, there's not a box there. The box, the religious affiliation box is there. That's right. Great. But don't put atheism in it because it's not a religious affiliation.
So are you worried that's about the I'm word saying. Atheism or are you worried about it?
When you say that that's a religious choice, that is a false statement. You should not say that because choosing not to have a religion is not a religious choice. That is saying I don't subscribe to any religion.
So if it's not a choice, then it has to be genetic.
What are you talking about?
You're getting to that choice somehow.
Dude.
You've made that decision.
You don't believe in a higher power. So a religious choice goes right back to the first term in that phrase, religious. If you mm-hmm. don't believe in any type of religion, it can't be a religious choice. It's not.
Okay.
So that's what I'm saying. You keep trying to say that to choose to be atheist is a religious choice. It is not a religious choice. A religious choice has to come from the list of religions.
So would you be more comfortable if I said it's the choice to not make a choice?
I think you're adding an extra choice.
I see all of the comments.
You have this reflexive need to put something in a box that doesn't need
why,
to be.
Why do I have a reflexive need to do that? It doesn't bother me at all. I don't care
about this. We've been talking
exactly.
about this
because you guys get so tied up on tiny little details of things that don't even matter.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. If you don't want to have a religion, don't have a religion.
But don't call it a religious choice then. That's not a religious choice.
But if I say what type of oranges do you like,
I can't say
false
I like Granny Smith apples.
False equivalency.
No, it's not. It's the same thing.
It's the same thing.
No, it isn't. It's not the same thing. Because if you ask me what type of apples I like, I'll tell you I don't like apples. So my choice on apples is zero. It's
right.
none.
But if your choice is none of the things that are part of that category.
My choice is none of the things that are part of that category.
Then guess what?
Then you're not in. I still made a choice on the category. But if the survey was to choose one. So if the survey was about apples and you choose oranges, your input is not relevant to the data about apples. You're right. not part of that at all. You would go in a totally separate chart.
Sure, I will agree with that, but I don't believe that that's a direct equivalency to what we're talking about. You're trying to separate yourself more from religiosity because you don't like it for some reason. And that's fine. You don't have to like it.
It's just that it's not religiosity. It's not.
It's the absence of it. The absence of air is a vacuum, but it's still a number of air. Zero.
Just because there's not, if there's gas in a room and then it's not air, that doesn't mean that it's automatically a vacuum. There's any number of gases that could be in that same area. So
right.
Again, so if you're doing a calculation of how much air is in a room and there's nothing but sulfur dioxide in there, then but it's
sulfur dioxide is a chemical.
So is air, Dutch. Stop.
Yes, I get that. But you wouldn't have a vacuum if you had sulfur dioxide in it. You would have a container of sulfur dioxide.
You're presenting me with containers of something, and then you're telling me I have to be part of something in that container. And I'm saying, no, I could be in a totally different container. And you're like, I don't know, still a container. It's like,
no, what I'm telling you is that when someone asks you a question about religion, you almost seem like you're saying that they don't have the right to ask you that.
That's not what I'm saying.
Then what are you? Then
I'm saying I'm not religious.
Great.
So I don't make religious choices.
Okay.
That's what this was initially about, and that's what I will maintain to this point right now. There is nothing religious about me.
Okay. But is the absence of having religion something that is useful information in some context?
Sure.
Great.
It could be. It depends on what kind of information you're looking for. What information would you be seeking? That's exactly my point. Okay. So what information would you be seeking that would alienate an atheist from any qualifications
well,
that
I'm
any
not
of them
to alienate, but for example, if I wanted to know
differentiate from any of the religions. Patterns. So what is the voting patterns?
So then you just take the people that don't check anything in the box and you analyze their voting patterns.
Right.
But and that's still a group. That's a group, but it's not a religious choice.
But if I'm doing a scientific study on it and I'm saying people of this religion vote Republican 80% of the time, people of this religion vote Republican 7% of the time, and people of no religion vote Republican 13% of the time, it's still a part of the same study.
That's not our fault.
No, that's the fault of the constructors of the study.
Right. Like maybe don't align.
So you don't think it's useful
to base things on religion?
Well, if I'm doing marketing, it's very useful.
Sure, if that's how you want to spin it. But marketing always has its ups and its downs. I mean, how are you going to market to atheists?
But what would you do to appeal to atheists? Maybe the question is, how wouldn't I? I wouldn't market to you.
That's a dude in a marketing firm. That's his job to figure out all that other shit. Everybody who's an atheist just walking around living their damn life. I don't give a fuck about none of this shit. But it is quite offensive to be considered religious. It's not a religious choice.
It's not something based on a belief in anything.
Marketing actually is a science, but.
Marketing is a science.
Yeah.
But you don't have to put them in that box. That's what I keep saying to you.
Okay,
you're trying to make this a religious choice. It's not a religious choice.
So if there's an atheist,
a religious choice is to choose from a box of religions. Go to the box.
So we're arguing. There's two different layers.
That doesn't go to the box. That's you analyze how many people that don't go
to
the box.
How do we get down these rabbit holes? I don't understand.
Because you say some crazy shit, man.
What I'm saying is completely fine. I don't even understand why you have a problem.
To you, and then we took up uppance with it.
We challenged you, and we have to challenge you because it's not right to say, "Oh, that's a religious choice," and we're supposed to be fine with that. That's not right.
So are you?
I'm not even an atheist, and
are you equating atheism, are you equating your atheism, Mikey,
I'm
asking you as soon as
you're- I was
going
to say, wait, that's me. That's me now.
Okay. Are you equating your atheism and your status as an atheist as similar in your arrival to that as someone who was born-
Hold on, Huss.
Christianity is a choice.
Jeebus Creebus. Let me ask a clarifying question.
Okay.
What do you mean by in your arrival to? Like, what does that mean? Like, rephrase it for me because
okay, so that, in arrival born, to didn't. Were you born an atheist?
No.
Okay. So how did you become one?
When I moved out of my mama's house and learned things for myself and I stopped listening to other people.
Okay. So, but you could have chosen to continue to live to the way that you were living in your mom's house.
I probably did for a few years.
Okay.
But then, yeah.
So is it fair to say,
if you're going to ask me a question, I really need you to let me answer.
Okay.
But
it's hard for me to hear. I apologize.
Okay. So when I get out in the real world and I am all by myself and I am on my own and I reach out to the things that I was taught as a child and none of it happens and none of it happens, and none of it happens. Huh?
Right.
Maybe nothing's there.
Okay.
So after realizing the hard way that nothing's there for me, then I have to understand and I have to contextualize what that means for me as a person, as a man going forward. And then that's how I attune my life.
Okay. So let me ask you if this is a fair question. Mm-hmm. If you had decided to continue to believe what I'm guessing, I don't want to assume, but I'm guessing the faith that your parents had instilled in you as a mm-hmm. child, right? Is that an accurate assessment?
Sure.
Okay. So if you had chosen to continue. Well, I use the word chosen, so I use it myself. But if you had continued believing in Christianity or whatever faith it was, mm-hmm. would you have characterized that remaining a Christian as a choice to do so?
Wayne Maker in the chat.
See, that's the whole point, Wayne. You just made my point for me.
Right.
You just made my point.
No, but the thing was – with the religion of my upbringing, that was indoctrination. That I wasn't given a choice.
Right.
I was just told this is what it is. And then I had a choice of whether to maintain that or to just let it fall by the wayside.
Yahtzee.
But that's not a religious choice. That's not a religious choice.
So according to Dutch, every time you don't do something, you've chosen to do it, but not do it because
technically only thing that's happening is electricity is going around in your brain.
Dutch, a religious choice is the choice of the religions. If you don't believe in religion, you don't believe in religion. It's not a religious choice.
But you come to that realization by some amalgamation of facts or data. Or the absence of.
That doesn't make it a
religion.
Or
the absence of. So my question to you. So hold on. I let you go. Now it's my turn.
Sure.
For me, I had no evidence to prove what I was believing.
Right.
Do you have evidence to prove what you are believing?
There's no such thing. I'm not trying to.
And that is the difference between us. So without going into all of this grandiose detail where you have to explain everything, I'm saying I saw no evidence for what I was believing, and right. I decided not to believe it because there was nothing there in the first place.
Okay.
I believe something that I feel wasn't true from right. jump. So as soon as I drop someone's religion, I'm no longer religious. That religion now and spirituality, that belongs to the religious people. I am no longer associated with that because I have dropped – what they gave me and I carried for a long time.
Okay, so are you saying that you dropped it?
So hold on. So if I'm not carrying a religion and you go around the room and you start asking everybody, what religion are you carrying and what religion are you carrying? And I have nothing in my hands. You can't tell me I'm carrying a religion.
I can't because you dropped it.
Exactly, Dutch.
Right.
Exactly.
But you, but when you dropped it, here's the question I'll ask you, and I'm not saying this. What?
That's still, that's to not to say I'm not religious anymore or never been or whatever. That's not a religious choice because you have to.
I didn't choose it. I didn't choose it to start.
Very word, the very word religious choice goes back to the root religious, just like wine prep, wine choice, bourbon choice,
apples,
peanut butter and jelly or strawberry jam sandwich choice. Strawberry. You know what I'm saying? If you say, hey, what kind of wine do you like? And I say, I don't like wine. Am I going to respond? That's an interesting wine choice. No, I don't like wine. I had wine. I had wine.
I don't have a problem with that.
But you can't say on a survey that's his wine choice.
But you, because you've experienced wine and you didn't like it, you made the decision that you're not going to have a wine choice.
But you say, but if you in conversation say, what is your favorite wine? And I say, I don't like wine. Mm-hmm. That's not a wine choice. Because your what is your favorite wine?
It is a wine choice.
No, it is not. Because I would say if
it's
I
none. Said. That's see, not, I think you guys, a, hold on real quick. I think you guys are confusing. Maybe I'm wrong here. But I think you're confusing my trying to justify religion. Because you guys tease me all the time about, oh, the, you know, maybe you want to go on my friend's Christian podcast. My... Just because I believe that it's probable, based on cosmological theory, that there is a deity.
Nolan's a good guy. I think you guys would get along. How dare you?
I don't have any tie to specific religious traits, right? So I don't identify with the evangelical church. I don't identify with the Baptist church or anything of that nature. So I actually would also say that I don't choose a particular religion, and I would also mark that choice right. As
you would
none.
You would be like an agnostic, which is not a religion.
I'm not necessarily an agnostic.
Agnostic is that you don't believe that anyone could actually right. know whether or not a deity would exist.
Or I've heard it defined as. I
understand agnosticism as you believe there's a higher power, but you don't subscribe necessarily to organized religion.
I would call that a theist.
That's more theist or spiritual.
Yeah.
Because agnostics kind of like I don't know. I don't know if there's a God.
Right.
You don't know that there's a God.
See, I just learned something. Right. I would define myself more as a theist or creation. I made up a term called creatio evolutionist.
Well, that's what you are then, I guess.
Trademark.
But see, copyright. I'm not trying to defend Christianity, and nor will I ever. Okay.
No. I'm not saying that. Dutch, don't be disillusioned. I'm not saying that. I just feel like you're trying to put atheism in a box that it shouldn't be in.
When you say that it's a religion. I am putting it in a box if what you're asking me is, do I believe that it is a choice that a person makes a conscious choice to be atheist? Yes, I believe
that. That's not a religious choice because the root of religious choice is
a logic choice, an evidence choice.
But here's the thing, Mikey. When you say it's a logic choice and an evidence choice, if someone else is a Muslim and they don't believe what you've said, then don't you think that they would take offense to what you just said?
They can defend their claim, and I'm ready to defend mine.
Okay, but it's not about that. I don't care to try to prove God to you.
But being a Muslim is already considered in a the religion. Box of religions.
Because yes, it believes it. Because it
but
because
I'm not
it
trying
purports
to prove
believe in the supernatural.
Of God here.
Okay,
so, if I don't believe in the supernatural. If
I'm saying that you are.
So
we're
what you're
saying that you're trying to put atheism in the box of religious choices, and it's not. It by definition, it is not. Because atheism is the absence of religion. So it can't be a religious choice.
And on top of that, me and the Muslim are two very different categories, because he has supernatural things that he has to explain. I have science and the natural world around me, and that explains what I believe, which is science and the natural world around me. I don't have, like, the burden of proof is on him to explain his supernatural deities and his supernatural miracles and all that other. Like, that's on him. That's his thing. I have nothing to do with that.
But that's not. But I'm ready. When it comes to that argument.
Well, you asked me why would I use logic and evidence, and that's why I'm using logic and evidence, because those are things that I can tangibly and demonstrably prove.
That led you to that decision.
Your turn, Haas. I'm tapped out on all this.
All right.
He's not hearing me, and I'm not interested.
I'm hearing you, but you're saying that because the evidence supports no God, right?
John 3:16. Is that what you want? Like, what do you look like? There is no religious answer I can give about why I'm non-religious.
Okay. Let me ask you this. What is the point you think I'm trying to make?
I don't know what you're saying, because you keep going from here and there and here and there. You made one statement that, right, as if atheists were a religious group. I push back, Haas push back. And now you're on to something else. I'm not sure where you're trying to go. I'm just trying to explain to you that I'm not religious, and it's offensive to be called religious, because I can see with the logic and the evidence what religion does and what it does to people.
I agree with that.
I don't want to be associated with that at all.
Which is why
atheists take umbrage with being called a religious group. We don't want to be associated with none of that shit.
That's fine. I respect that. So if I would have said, say, your worldview when it comes to whatever, insert verb, then you may not have been offended. But because of the fact that I said that atheists are the most offended religious group, is that what I said? Possibly. That they're the most marginalized religious group. In fact, what I was saying is that it's harder for atheists to sell their worldview to people because they're, for whatever reason,
I don't think atheists
get into Congress.
Try to sell their worldview. I think people are atheists.
People have a problem with it, though, because it's hard to get elected.
But that's not the atheist problem. That's
the society's problem. Right. I'm with you on that. I'm not against that.
Okay.
It's just an answer. It's just atheism is just an answer. Like, being an atheist is the answer to one question. Do you believe God exists? I say no. That's all it is.
But
so all of the shit that comes after that, I have nothing to do with. I have nothing to do with any of that. None of it.
I have no problem with that.
All right. My cigar is almost gone.
Okay. So we argued about atheism for 45 minutes.
Which is beautiful.
Do you have any, you want to get to, Big House has two things to do, I guess, right?
Yeah. Well, the second thing we're going to do is I just want you to play it. If you got it.
After the what?
The who?
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Welcome to the Humidor with Big Haas. Find out what Haas is puffing and drinking today. If you try his suggestion, and you die. That is natural selection, and the VFU podcast is not responsible for you being weak effing sauce. Now, the one, the only, Big Haas.
I'm not on drugs.
What up, Big Haas, down in the back cave? Let them people out there know what's really crack-a-lackin' over there in Tobacco Land.
Brother, 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 how you make them get down? I got pimp in my crown. Man.
Oh, I got to change my picture. Hold on.
I know I reviewed this cigar a long time ago, earlier in the early days of VFU.
Back in the day when I was young, I'm not a kid anymore. But sometimes
I wish I was a kid again. Anyway, you know something? I need to do it again. And I found these, and I had to buy a few. I am puffing on today. And you see where it's at. It's almost to the cap. You see that?
No
cap. That's how great these fucking cigars are. This is one of my very favorite cigars in the whole wide world. And I love them dearly. Anyway, that's another Coming to America reference if y'all didn't get that. But anyway, this is the Asylum 13.
Ooh.
Medulla oblongata. As my man in the Waterboy would say, the medulla oblongata.
Something wrong with his medulla oblongata.
Is it? Happiness comes from magic rays of sunshine that come down when you're feeling blue.
Mama said that the alligator be so cranky because he got all them teeth and no toothbrush.
No toothbrush. But I like a lot of the cigars from the Asylum 13, the Asylum line, but this is hands down one of my favorites. And the great thing is, if you buy a box of Asylum 13 Medulla Oblongatos, and
pause
this is
on the box, pause on the box.
Yeah. If you buy, and this is the Maduro, okay? There's the Medulla Oblongata Natural, and there's the Medulla Oblongata Maduro. Now, both are phenomenal, okay? My personal favorite is the Maduro, but just because I love the Maduro, I love Maduro cigars. And also, if you buy a box, you get half medullas and half oblongatas.
Medulla.
Now, what is the difference, you might ask?
Hey,
what's the difference?
Yeah, what's the difference?
The medulla is traditional round in shape, the cigars. The oblongata is a rounded box press. When I say a rounded box press, what I'm saying is the edges here are rounded, but it's flat.
Flip it the other way. There we go.
See how it's oblong there? So it's like an oval, not a traditional circle.
That looks like something else. I apologize. Please never do that again. Never face that at the camera. Never do that again.
It's not like this.
We've made a mistake.
We had a pause in the...
That was the very first visual pause. The
very first visual pause in DOA history. So, as you all know, if you've listened to this show at all and gotten to the Humidor section, you know that I love Bosch Press cigars. So,
that's true.
I am partial to the Oblongata. I've smoked the Maduro, and I smoked the Oblongata Maduro, and for some reason, I love the Oblongata. This Vitola, if we had gotten to this sooner, you would have seen, but that's okay. This Vitola is the 770 Gordo. Okay. So a 7-inch pause. There we go. By 70-inch. 70 centimeter ring gauge. So it's a thick one. Pause. Okay.
I've heard that the ladies like girth.
I've heard that too.
That's what I hear. I've heard it on the internet, so it must be true.
Hey, I'm what's known as a dual threat. Anyway.
Yikes.
So,
Wowzers.
The Asylum line is created by Christian Arroyo. And if you know that, if you're a cigar person, you know that name, you know that the guy makes amazing cigars. He makes amazing boutique cigars. Okay? The Asylum cigars, that line is handcrafted in Honduras. Honduras, I'm sorry. Okay. Great flavor. And as you can see, I mean, Jesus Christ. The construction is beautiful. I have a lot. You know what? I'm going to take the rest of the band off here so that you can kind of see a little bit of the construction of the cigar.
I heard bands make up. You just ripped it.
I fucked up the cap. I fucked up the cap when I made the cut. It's a V cut, as you can see, which caused some pausation. But I fucked up the cap when I cut it. But as you can see, It's a smoother than the last few cigars I've smoked. Not as much veinage. Pause. Okay.
Girth and veins. What are we talking about?
It's not as veiny. It's not as veiny. But beautiful coloration. The milk chocolate joint there. You know, really good construction. Really good burn line. Not too bad. You know, a little wave there. But the ash, I got out to about 2 inches on the ash, pause, before it wanted to fall off. But I actually tapped it myself. I tapped that ash myself because I wanted to protect the burn in there. Sometimes the ash gets so long that you actually smother the tobacco out and it'll go out. You know what I mean? I'm going to get there, Aunt Jer. I'm going to get there, Aunt Jer. So, as I was saying, the Asylum, this is Honduras. The binder is Corojo and Honduran leaf. The filler is all Honduran, okay? And the wrapper is a Maduro San Andres. Ooh. And when I say Andres, I mean Andres. A-N-D-R-E-S, not Andreas.
I played the Grand Theft Auto.
Right. Andreas and Andres are two different places. Okay? So the seeds are all Honduran. And the wrapper is a Mexican San Andres leaf, but the seeds were grown in Honduras. Okay? So when we talk about that, we got to understand that. All right? So I love the Oblongata because it does have a great cornucopia of flavor, all right, or nuance, or whatever you want to call it. But you get some black pepper, you get some leather, you get some coffee, you get a little earth towards the end here. I'm getting towards the end, so I'm getting more earth than I normally would. Beautiful. But I like the idea of the 50-50 split in the box because although I prefer the Oblongata, the Maduro is a great smoke as well. I mean, the Medulla is a great smoke in itself as well.
Oblongata is the 770?
No. You can get these both in the 770. But the Oblongata is just a box press 770, whereas the Medulla is a round.
Gotcha.
7-7.
Gotcha.
Okay. I love the box press. I've always had a preference for that. And for some reason, the box press gives me a little bit more flavor than the regular Vitola, the round Vitola, for some reason. I don't know why. I have to figure out why. But
teacher, I was actually just about to ask that question.
Sure.
Is there any flavor difference in the way that the cigar is pressed?
You know something?
Could it be the press itself that's infusing each cigar with a little extra seasoning salt? Some Lari's seasoning
salt? It's got a little bit of tahini on it. You know what I think?
A little tahini on the salmon filet.
No, what I think is this. This is what I truly believe. I believe that the box press makes the cigar a little bit wider, so it disperses the heat differently than the traditional round Vitola.
I just solved it.
You just what?
I just solved it.
I'm thinking about it right now.
It's the amount of cigar. It's like if you eat ice cream.
Wait, hold on. I fell out of the nerd voice. Hold on, let me fix it.
Yes, it's like if you eat ice cream with a fork as opposed to a spoon, you taste less metal, and then you taste more ice cream, and that's just taste more.
I don't believe that at all.
But because it's flat, you're tasting more of your – instead of – because you've told me that the wrapper is where all the flavor is, and if the wrapper is flat and more wrapper is burning at once
– No. No, because what happens is this. The Oblongata starts off as a medulla. And they just pack it differently so you get the box press.
Then I got nothing.
That's right. So now let me present my hypothesis. This is what I believe, and this is just now thinking about it. When you box press it, you disperse things a little bit wider, right? So the burn is a little bit different. It's a little, just a tiny bit girthier. So now the heat is spread over a larger surface area.
That's what I just said.
Okay.
More surface area.
That's not about a fork or some shit. But anyway, so then.
More surface area. Like you were getting more. Yeah.
It burns a little bit differently. So, and it actually, I think it reduces the heat signature a little bit. So that the tobacco isn't burning at as high of a temperature. And I could be totally wrong. So you're able to get more of the true flavor and nuance and experience the cigar in a different way. That's what I think. Okay. Now, I paired this. Well, right now I've got some wine. That's because I ran out of the drink I made because – you know, I was drinking fast. And that's why I don't drink too much, because I'm a fast drinker. All right. So I had to start a tequila sour. You know, everybody's heard of a whiskey sour. I made a tequila sour.
I found the answer. Which was
4 ounces of De Leon Añejo tequila.
Are you sure you weren't having an Amaretto Stone Sour?
No, it's a tequila sour. Get the shit right.
Stone Sour sucks.
De Leon Añejo tequila, 4 ounces, 2 ounces of lemon juice, okay, and 2 tablespoons of simple sugar. Shake it up in ice. Tap that bitch. So when I was drinking that, I got a little bit more of the, for some reason, I got a little bit more of the leather nuance. And I got a little bit more of the earth. And I think that's because of the strength of the tequila. That contributed to the earthy. And then the leather, I think, was brought out a little bit because of the combination of simple sugar, simple syrup, and lemon juice.
This okay. just in, this is Mikey Famine, man on the street. I have this just in, Big Hoss, from Google. According to advocates, the squared shape of box press cigars beautifully enhances and intensifies tobacco flavors. The packing process involves a gentle application of pressure that condenses the tobacco leaves and results in a cigar with a better draw and a cooler, steadier burn. Back to you, Big Hoss.
What the fuck I just said. So a motherfucker's hypothesis was correct.
You hypothesizing in this bitch.
Hypothesizing in this motherfucker. Next, we're going to Pythagorean theorems. But anyway. So, I drank up all my goddamn tequila sour. So I had to switch to the old standby, the Aldi quarter cut. Okay?
Stop drinking
it. Aldi in this motherfucker.
Stop drinking it.
Good. I like it.
I love you too much to let you keep drinking that shit. Stop it.
It is finished. It's a Cabernet Sauvignon finished in bourbon barrels.
Yeah. A lot of wines are doing that these days.
It's trendy.
Yeah.
Okay. So you get a little bourbon action, but it's sweet. So it actually brought out some sweetness of the cigar. It's like a black cherry or something. Something like that. And it changed the profile of the cigar for me. It muted. Oh my God. I'm not even going to entertain what Wayne makes.
Don't ignore him.
Because Carl Cox's neck is so fucking fat. But anyway, it muted a little bit of the earth because I switched to the wine and I left the ice in it. With the wine too, so that kind of muted a little bit as well.
That's my deep dark confession. Sometimes I will put a little bit of ice in wine. If it's fucking, my kitchen gets very hot, and then I ruined my fucking wine, and I have to. So I hear you.
Yeah, I'm down here in the basement. Like, I got all my stuff down here in the basement where it's cool and dank. But it muted a little bit of the earth. It mutes a little bit of the leather. it brings out a little bit of a sweetness in the tobacco that I don't think a lot of people pair this cigar with wine. So you might not get this essence from it unless you do. You know what I mean? So this is, like I said, this is one of my favorite cigars in the whole wide world. Whenever I find them, because for some reason they're hard to find, not a lot of places carry them. And when you go online for them, they're often back ordered. Okay. But you can find, most of the time I smoke the Gordo, which is a 660. 660 meaning 6-inch by 60-inch ring gauge. And that is a very popular Vitola, so it's often back ordered. So I end up with the 680 Gordo, which is the big fat one. I mean, that's a big 6-inch by 80 ring gauge. So that's like a nice
fat. That's a whopper, huh?
That's a fat tube. Anyway.
Jesus.
Pause. So, but this one is the 770. And I like it a lot. I prefer the smaller ring gauge because then I get more wrapper, so I get more flavor. Every once in a while, I'll smoke a Robust, which is 5x50, but it's just, that's another popular one is the Robusto. Now, I give Robusto. This is one of my higher rated cigars. I give this this is on that 4.8, 4.85 range. What I found is this, and this is what kind of pisses me off, because I came into this, I found this cigar years ago, like 4 or 5 years ago, and the price point was a lot lower, but it seems that because it's gotten so popular,
the game.
They upped the game on it. So now, I mean, Jesus Christ, you get a box of 50. You know, I guess when you break it down, that's still not a bad price point. You can get a box of 50 of the 660s that I like between $360 and $400. Ugh. But it's 50. It's 50 of them. But that's expensive. That is, I mean, you know, that's a pretty hefty price.
We'll see your birthday roll around. We'll see what's popping.
Hey, holla at your boy. Father's Day coming before my birthday.
You're not my father. You ain't getting shit. Not for that birthday.
This is a 4.8 to 4.85 cigar. I love them. If I have a cash windfall, I would freaking get a box of 50, no hesitation. You know? I like the wine pairing for a different experience of this cigar, and I don't think a lot of people do that. The pairing with the tequila sour is pretty good, though, and I don't think a lot of people do that either. I think most people go with the bourbon or a whiskey to pair, but I'm the king of trying different things. I got to try it with
you hear that, Antier?
Some of this Crown Peach. And see what kind of sweetness comes out of it then. But I really love this cigar. I would recommend it for the novice smoker because it is a medium to full. It is on the right side of that spectrum, but it's not overpowering. You don't have to eat like a steak dinner or something heavy before you have it. But it's just a very good cigar. And if you're getting into that premium cigar niche and you're trying to move up from the milds and the mediums, this is a great cigar to start with. So I think that the novice smoker that's getting more a little bit more advanced would really enjoy this.
Well, Dutch isn't saying it, so I'll say it for him.
What was the rating on that?
4.85. Let's just split the difference and call
4.85?
It 4.825. Jesus. I said 4.8 to 4.
Why do you have to be so exact?
Because that's who I am, man. That's who I am.
And you think you are not a fractions.
It's so on the nose.
I'm a little bit of a snob. No. And I was going to review another cigar today, but I didn't want to. And I full disclosure, I was actually after I got done working today. I really wanted a cigar. And so I pulled this one out, pause, and I started smoking it. And I only got about an inch and a half in before my wife She wanted me to rub her thigh and rub her feet before I podcasted. Jacob, this is the asylum medulla oblongata. This is the oblongata version. Okay, Jason, Jacob. Jacob asked a question. I'm just answering this question for him. All right. So, Jacob, if you find these, grab two or three, try them out. I would say this: you grab two or three. If you never had one before, you smoke one right away. You wait about 2 or 3 weeks. You smoke the other one. Then you wait about 4 weeks more, and you smoke the last one. If you've got a humidor that's proper. Can I say this real fast? I got to do a small rest in peace.
Okay.
A small rest in peace to my old humidor.
I thought it was a person. I'm like,
no.
Oh, shit, you're knocking over all the shit.
My humidor. This is my first big humidor I bought, right? And I've had it for about 6 or 7 years.
What's wrong with it?
I went to open it and put distilled water into it as I want to do, especially in the wintertime. I do it every week, and there's mold in here. Somehow, a contaminant got into this humidor, and it molded. And once a humidor molds, it is done. There's no way to get that crap out.
But you right?
So, no, you can't get it. It's never the same once you try to get it out of there. So this humidor is dead. I want to give it a proper burial. But it treated me well for a long time. Luckily for me, I don't have to buy a new humidor because upstairs I have one of the freestanding refrigerator type humidors. And I'm just going to use that for now and maybe for Father's Day, I'll get another one for down here. But, you know. So, rest in peace. And definitely make sure if you're going to buy some of these cigars or any cigar for that matter, you want to make sure you get a few and smoke them on a spatial continuum where you can kind of see how they develop. If you can properly store them. Okay. All right.
Can I have your humidor?
You can have it. Yeah, I'll leave it right here for you. I'll leave it right here for you. You can try to get the mold.
He'll get
out
it tonight in his evening raid.
Oh. I'll come over there and fix your fucking green screen. So I'm going to have to make a little housekeeping note.
Hey,
I got to get that green screen back going.
And go
what
out
you
back
do to it?
Clean the pipes by the bushes, by the bush.
Pause. I got another idea of how to get his green screen perfect, and it just might work.
Have him not knock it over.
I didn't knock it over, dude.
No, it had to do with the adhesiveness of the double sided Velcro tape that we were using.
That's right. That's right.
It stuck to the wall, but it didn't stick to the fabric.
Fine. It's fine, stuck to the wall, but not to the fabric.
Which is ridiculous to me. But yeah. There you go. What can you do?
Damn you, 3M.
I literally bought the name brand shit. It was fucking like $25. So I'm really pissed that it wouldn't stick to fucking fabric.
You see that? You got a request for a White Owl review.
Oh, man. When I first started smoking cigars, I smoked peach White Owls. Walking around my subdivision deciding whether I was going to get divorced or not.
Yikes.
2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. Yeah.
And thanks to the White Owl, he said yes.
Here I am. You know?
Every divorce begins with White Owl. That might be a thing. That might catch on.
There we go. Another 5-minute humidor.
That's right. That's right. You know, I got to give you all the details, though. I mean, I don't want to leave anything out.
Pause. We're going to give you a clock.
You know what? I got
to put it up on screen.
And I apologize. I really start.
No, you don't.
I really need to start doing these things as standalones too sometimes.
Oh, no.
I know a couple of ladies in the chat who are all about that, and they're waiting for that to happen. So
they're waiting for the standalone humidors.
That, you know what? They've had to listen to all of us fucking bickering for the last fucking 45 minutes just to get to the humidor.
Hey, you know something too? I'll do it from the torch because I get to pick something from the humidor and the torch every time I go in there. And I always pick something I've never had. So it'd be perfect for me to do there before people start coming in, you know? So maybe this Sunday I'll do one from the torch before we have our Super Bowl thing.
Cool, cool.
Hopefully I'll see y'all out there.
Big on America.
Hey guys, thanks for listening. This is Jason Dutch. Just want to say, appreciate you tuning in to a little bonus content where we obviously argued about not really atheism, but whether or not atheism is a religious choice or not. And then, of course, everyone's favorite part of the show, the humidor with Big Hussein. If you are listening on iTunes or Stitcher or Spotify, thank you. Please subscribe to the show. You may also check us out on YouTube at youtube.com/digonamerica. Or you can find us on Twitch. twitch.tv/DOA podcast. Also, you can support the show by going to patreon.com. That's patreon.com/digonamerica. And you can help us out there for $2 a month or more if you so choose. We will see you guys in a couple days for the live stream as we continue talking about history as well as socio-political issues on Dig on America. You stay classy, you sons of guns.
Proof the deep state is real in America.
The media said what? Ha, 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 ha.
Patently false. Fake news.
Your organization's terrible.
This is the kind of thing that just tickles my balls.
Want to have a rousing discussion about truth, honor, patriotism?
The end of the Republic has never looked better.
Be fighting the power, talking about social issues, politics, you know what I'm saying?
I enjoy Big Hoss.
And I've smoked my cigar, of course.
Am I allowed to talk?
No, not right now.
You crazy Dutch bastard!
Mikey, you're getting a bit upset here.
Mikey, you can edit.
Three punches.
Get in trouble. Good trouble. Necessary trouble.
My favorite podcast.
Big on America.
Every day, we're surrounded by media. Books, movies, art, music, games, apps, podcasts, etc., etc. With this constant bombardment, it's easy to miss great media gems in the chaos. But fret not, you've come to the right place, my friend. I'm Jason, and I love media. I invite you to check out the Mixed Media Forest podcast, the podcast where I trudge through the forests of media to find hidden gems for you, the listener. Every episode of Mixed Media Forest is chock full of fun, reviews, nostalgia, positivity, news, rants, stories, and recommendations about all things media. Again, that's the Mixed Media Forest podcast, created on Anchor Podcasting app and available everywhere fine podcasts can be found. Give it a listen. It's what all the cool kids are doing.
Hi, it's Audra,
Jason,
and Matt
from Drinkapedia Podcast.
We're a bad education podcast that's like Drunk History for the full curriculum.
We have new episodes every Thursday, and you can find us on most major podcast platforms.
Join us at the bar and follow us on Twitter at Drinkopedia Pod.
Big on America.